A friendly desert community where the sun is hot, the moon is beautiful, and mysterious lights pass overhead while we all pretend to sleep. Welcome to Night Vale.
In June of 2012, Joseph Fink and Jeffrey Craner, the creators of the Welcome to Night Vale podcast, began airing twice monthly podcasts, hoping to be heard by anyone outside their close circles. By the anniversary show a year later, the fan base had exploded, vaulting the podcast into the number one spot on iTunes. Since then, its popularity has grown by epic proportions, hitting more than 100 million downloads, expanding to a successful live international touring stage show, a New York Times best-selling novel, and a podcast network, Night Vale Presents. Now, for the first time, the first two seasons of Welcome to Night Vale are available as books, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Joseph Fink to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure to have you on the program.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
So the books are Mostly Void, Partially Stars, Episodes Volume 1, and The Great Glowing Coils of the Universe, Episodes Volume 2. At what point did you think it would be helpful to put these out into book form?
We've wanted to do this for a while, but we wanted to do the novel first because the novel kind of allowed us to stretch ourselves out of the podcast format and write something that was very different and very standalone. But, you know, because it is a completely scripted show, and so all of that text already exists, we knew that this would be sort of an easy way to both give people that listen to the show something, because there's a lot of behind-the-scenes commentary, and an artist, Jessica Hayworth, that we work with a lot, did amazing illustrations of each episode. But also people that maybe just aren't into podcasts or aren't into audio storytelling, it allows them to read the story right from the beginning at their own pace in a way that they might enjoy more.
How did the two of you come to do this?
Well, I met Jeffrey in sort of downtown New York theater about 7-8 years ago now. And we became friends. We started having conversations. We ended up writing a play together that we performed in the East Village called What the Time Traveler Will Tell Us. And kind of during the course of that, we talked a lot about podcasts. We were both big podcast listeners. And so I knew that I wanted to make a podcast and I wanted to make it with Jeffrey, but I didn't want it to make it sound like anything that anyone was already doing, because those podcasts were already doing it better than we could. And eventually, there wasn't really much or any scripted fiction happening in the podcast world at the time. And so eventually I came up with the idea of this small desert town where every conspiracy theory was true and people just had to go on with their lives from there. And I started just writing pieces of that. And eventually I showed Jeffrey a script and then said, do you want to work on this with me? And he did.
How do you divide the labor?
Well, pretty evenly. I mean, with scripts, for instance, we write scripts entirely separately for the most part, taking turns with the scripts. So one of us will go off and write a full rough draft, but then the other person will do a lot of editing and discussion on it. So the end product is very much from both of us. And then, you know, we'll get together maybe once a month and sort of discuss what's going on in the podcast story and where we want it to go next, and maybe plan out what the next few episodes should be. But because it's just two of us and because we work together so long and trust each other so much, it's a pretty casual, easy process. You know, one of us can make a plot choice without consulting the other one, and the other one will just be, okay, great, we're going with this one. I'll work from there.
As I mentioned in the introduction, this was something that you started. It started small, and then it just exploded. Do you have any sense of what it was or what it is that struck such a chord with so many people?
I mean, there's so many different things. Here's kind of the top three that we usually talk about. The first is, I think there's something very universal about Night Vale in that it's a very strange place. It's a place not like our lives, but at the same time, it's a very dangerous place. People die there constantly. There's all sorts of dangerous things constantly happening. And yet the people who live in Night Vale just go on with their lives and just make do. I think we live in a very dangerous world in which people die constantly, but we have to learn how to just go on with our lives anyway. And I think people see a lot of themselves in the people of Night Vale. I mean, maybe they're having to deal with cancer and not being abducted by aliens, but there is the same sense of the world is a scary place, and we just have to learn how to find some sense of okayness with that. That, I think, was a major part of it. Another was that we really don't, you know, we're an audio property where, it's entirely audio, but we also, just in our writing, we don't describe much visually. It's not something we're interested in. There's very little visual description. And so, people, especially like internet fan people that are really into creating visual art about a thing they're interested in, Night Vale gives them way more freedom than, say, Sherlock does, because Sherlock has actors and, you know what everyone looks like, wherein Night Vale, pretty much every character could look like whoever you wanted them to be. And so there's just a lot more freedom there to make art that interests you. And the last thing is that, we really hit popularity very soon after the main couple of our show, Cecil and Carlos, got together. And I do think there was quite a few people interested in a show that had a queer couple at the heart of it, where that wasn't treated as other or strange or kind of a source of this is what's interesting about the show, but just was part of everything else that was happening. It was treated as normal.
The series is narrated by the character Cecil Palmer, who's the host of Night Vale Community Radio. And why that idea? What did that allow you to do of having a narrator and then be able to tell the stories that the two of you have written?
Well, we both, as I said, came out of downtown New York theater, as did our actor, Cecil. The actor and the character share a first name. The thing about downtown New York theater is that no one has any money because they're doing theater in New York City. And so there's often not money for things like props or costumes or sets. It kind of lands on the writers and the performers to create something where it is interesting enough for someone to just be standing on a stage and telling you a story, and for that to be gripping enough to hold your attention. And both Jeffrey and I are very into single person storytelling, just someone standing in front of you with nothing else, no other emphasis, and just capturing you with a story. And so we really wanted to do that in audio form. And so having this single community radio voice was our way of seeing how gripping we could make a story be with no sound effects, no dialogue, just one person telling you a story.
The two of you will be at the Morton Memorial Library on Thursday, September 15th in Rhinebeck. And what kind of event do the two of you do?
Well, this, for the books, we do conversations. It'll be Meg Bashwinner, who is the voice of the credits of Night Vale, and also she is the MC and an actor in our touring live show that we take around the world. So she'll be moderating a conversation between the two of us about Night Vale and about the making of it and about the making of the books. Meg is somebody who knows us very well, and so it should be an interesting conversation.
The audience reaction, not only to the podcast, but the sold-out live shows, people gather online, they exchange fan art and fan fiction. I assume that this all plays into what you wanted for this community of this place.
Well, I mean, there wasn't anything specific we wanted. We wanted anyone to listen to it, and we wanted to be able to make a show that interested us. And so in that sense, it has been exactly that. People listen, and in our fifth year now of making it, we are still making the show exactly how we want to make it. We don't answer to anyone. If Jeffrey and I are into telling a story, we tell that story and that's it. And we make it exactly how we want to make it. And it's a pretty amazing position to be in, to be able to have that much freedom and control over a story you're telling, and be able to still make a living from it. So we are very happy about that.
Do you enjoy the fiction and the art that is developed? Is that something that you can get into, or do you have to keep the purity of the show itself, separate yourself a bit from that?
Are you talking about fan fiction and fan art?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, fan art I've looked at quite a bit of, again, because we don't describe things visually, that has less to do with us. And so, you know, a lot of times I find it fascinating when someone, for instance, draws what they think the character sees or looks like. I don't feel any connection or ownership with that depiction because that has nothing to do with what I wrote. That is something they imagined. So I don't feel like that's my character. I feel like that's their art. In terms of fan fiction, I think it's amazing that it exists. There's thousands and thousands of pieces of Night Vale fan fiction out there. I've never read any of it, and I never will, because I just need to keep my ideas and my storytelling separate from other people's ideas and storytelling. But I think it's a really incredible thing for fans to do for other fans. It's something that comes from and belongs to them.
The first two seasons of Welcome to Night Vale are now in book form. Mostly Void, Partially Stars, Welcome to Night Vale, Episodes Volume 1, and The Great Glowing Coils of the Universe, Episodes Volume 2. Joseph Fink and Jeffrey Craner will be at the Morton Memorial Library in Rhinecliff, New York on Thursday, September 15th. In Rhinecliff at 6 o'clock, and you can find out more information by going to oblongbooks.com. Oblongbooks.com. Joseph Fink, a great pleasure to have you on the program, and we look forward to having you in the region. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Again, you can find out more about the event at Oblong Books and Music at the Morton Memorial Library in Rhinecliff by going to oblongbooks.com. Oblongbooks.com. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
Good night, listeners. Good night.